This is 20 Minutes for Tech, Episode 25, Assistive Technology Resources.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of 20 Minutes for Tech, your instructional technology podcast. I'm your host, Dave Solon. This past week, I attended an Apple-sponsored event at RIU and was introduced to several new concepts in the realm of assistive technologies. If you're like me, when you hear the words assistive technology, you probably think of screen readers, special switches, and the like. Well, back when I was just a kid, I had the chance to help my sister with an assistive device while I was growing up. She was a speech pathologist for another IU, and I was just a teenager at the time. One of her students was a teenage boy, but he couldn't speak. He had what looked like a modified keyboard with words and phrases on the keys, and it was my job to help program the device for him with my voice so he would have a teenage boy's voice when he spoke through the device. That was my first exposure to an assistive device, and to be honest, I haven't dealt with many since. So, Apple invited a few distinguished educators to come speak and demonstrate current assistive technologies to the attendees of this seminar. They shared some great resources, and I took the liberty of pulling one of the distinguished educators aside for the podcast. I had a chance to chat with Madeleine Pugliese, Assistive Technology Graduate Program Director of Simmons College in Boston, Massachusetts. We chat about the effects that the stimulus package may have on leveling the playing field for all students. We'll also chat about her work and research with Stages, and we'll talk about a few key resources in finding appropriate assistive technologies for students. And we also chat about the SET framework, which stands for Student, Environment, Task, and Tool. So I hope you enjoy this talk with Madeleine. I'll give you just a brief overview of her credentials. She is an Apple Distinguished Educator. She has over 30 years of experience in public education and is a nationally recognized speaker and authority in assistive technology. She's the Director of Assistive Technology Graduate Program at Simmons College in Boston, like I had said. She's the author of Stages, the Developmental Framework, which is a book and accessible diagnostic software. She's the director of the Assistive Technology Project of the Massachusetts Department of Education. She was named as a Shaper of the Future by Converge magazine in 1999. Also one of the 10 most influential assistive technology specialists in the country by Microsoft and IntelliTools partnership. She's the former co-director of Camp Apple, which was a summer program for educators on new instructional technology. She's the founder of Adaptive Rehabilitation Technology, which is a nonprofit organization offering information and resources for families and individuals with needs for adaptive technologies. She has 3 master's degrees, as well as an EdS degree in assistive technology. So here's my chat with Madeleine Pugliese, and I thank her for taking the time out to chat with us on 20 Minutes for Tech. Okay, I'm getting to talk with Madeleine Pugliese, the Assistive Technology Graduate Program Director of Simmons College in Boston today, and Apple has been kind enough to put on a little assistive technology kind of seminar here, and Madeleine has come down and really sparked my interest. I've always been interested in assistive technology for our students, but I don't know a lot about it. And well, thanks for coming down, first of all, and thanks for taking this time on the podcast. But you've really filled my head with a lot of different things here that I have on my list, and I'll let you see.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to ask you about a couple of these things, and
The first thing off was the stimulus package.
Yes.
And how is the stimulus package going to possibly affect us when it comes to this kind of thing?
Well, you know, it changes minute by minute, so you
right.
really have to try to stay on top of it. And one of my missions today was to list all the websites that I'm reading so that I'm trying to stay on top of it, too.
Okay.
$100 billion for education.
Okay.
$100 billion.
That's a lot of money. I can't
and
even
it,
imagine that.
I know. I can't even think. More than my piggy bank has in it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But and centered around that is somewhere between $12 and $13 billion for schools to specifically implement legislation that our current administration believes in.
Right.
That's well-written legislation, but underfunded.
Okay.
I think the primary example of that is IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act.
Okay.
In that act, there is absolute language that gives a very strong responsibility for schools to use technology for equalizing the playing field in the classroom,
right.
making sure that all students have access to the curriculum, that
okay.
all students are part of their school communities, both academically and socially.
Right.
And given those particular mandates, not only to find the right technology tools, but also to provide the support for implementing that, figuring out the assessment procedure, what tools do we need, where do we get them, how do we acquire those tools,
okay.
and then how do we get them out of the box and use them. Implementation services are also mandated under IDEA.
Okay.
And that's the part that's been underfunded that I think schools are dying to do right, and that's what I think this 12-point-whatever-billion-dollars is going to do for us.
It's going to go through.
Yeah.
Do you want to highlight any of those? Now, you don't have to give the URLs. I can put them in the show notes,
yeah.
but just the couple of the names of those sites? Or?
Well, one that I'm reading actively is the National Center for Technology Innovation, NCTI.org, has
okay.
a page where they're tracking the stimulus package, and then they're listing which pages they think have the most current information, so it's constantly changing.
Right.
And you saw in my presentation today, they must have been updating it because I had it ready
yeah.
to show, and they took it down just before. Of course, that always happens.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Just before, but again, I'll make sure you have all those URLs so you can follow along. Just this morning, Education Week, which I think is the primary publication that most superintendents and principals and decision makers read.
Right.
Just this morning, Education Week had an article, what's today, March 11th?
Right.
Has an article on $100 billion coming to education and how it will be spent.
Right.
So it's a moving target.
Yeah. And, of course, you said be prepared, right?
Be prepared.
Be prepared to write it up.
Right.
Now, you also mentioned some of the things that I'm not familiar with at all, and maybe some of the listeners aren't either. A couple different things. Stages, techmatrix.org, which looks like a really neat site.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the SET process. And then we can also talk about the rights of students and such coming up. What order should we talk about these three?
Well, let's just go right down the list,
okay.
the way you mentioned them. And if you want to move them around electronically, we know you can do that thanks to these great tools.
If
so,
need be.
Stages is my own research, and
okay.
it is that it looks at child development from a more pragmatic point of view than the way most child development experts have come out. So
okay.
if you think back to maybe your own undergraduate work, and certainly our listeners will remember Piaget's work in
right.
Cognitive milestones and the order in which we should see those evolve in mm-hmm. emerging learners. Some students that I'm familiar with or working with over my many years in the classroom are falling below those milestones. They have language delay. They have a cognitive delay. What about kids that are below those milestones? And I found many other child development experts that I sort of merged together and rewrote my own version of child development that includes kids with exceptionalities.
Okay.
I called that stages, which is really sort of borrowed from the idea of emerging in a particular order. What are the milestones we should look for? Combining cognitive and language abilities.
Right.
That was a 10-year research journey.
Wow.
What I did in that process is I also paired each of those milestones with technology tools.
Okay.
What are the third-party technology tools that you should be using? milestone by milestone to make sure that you are actually reaching that learner within that particular body of knowledge. What I did after I finished the research project and published the book is turn those milestones into a set of accessible activities that you can use technology for measuring students.
Okay.
So the idea is that you give my stages games, and they do look like games. They work with third-party adaptive devices.
Okay.
So children who don't hold a pencil or who can't speak can play these games and generate data of what they're able to do within this set of milestones. I turn them into short little activities that turn around and give you data that match up with these stages and cognitive and language milestones that I identified in the book.
Wow.
So it is the only product on the market, it's the only assessment tool on the market that's technology-based, that works with adaptive devices, that will measure kids who don't hold a pencil or speak. What's the point of assessment if it doesn't point back to curriculum? That
right.
was my plan all along. So
right.
paired with each of these milestones now, you can collect data that tells you exactly where the learner is functioning, because he can't tell you himself,
right?
Doesn't hold a pencil, doesn't speak. So we're going to use these games. We're going to use our adaptive devices. We're going to generate our own performance-based data. And then online, I put a free searchable database that allows you to go in and say, based on my data, this is where I want to work with the student. Help me find third-party products that I should be using at that particular area. So for folks who are not necessarily working with these students but are perhaps planning for them, they may be their tech coordinator for their district who needs to be able to plan for all kids now in today's
right.
world, this is a source for them to find what third-party publishers are out there, and the teachers would have the data to back up making those purchase decisions.
I started to look through it just very briefly because it's only been a couple minutes since you kind of finished, it looked like a really easy to use, you know, searchable type database. And again, it's not for one specific product. So it's not like
right.
we're trying to sell you anything here.
Right.
It's
I certainly hope people will use stages to generate
oh, sure.
their data, and that's my that's my software. But
right.
But the point is that I want to help people find those third party solutions for getting at curriculum. Assessment is useless if you don't have a curriculum plan to go with it. So stages is the assessment tool, and then I was fortunate to find a publisher that would let me also put up my recommendations around curriculum.
Right. And looking at the stages, again, I just took a real cursory look, but it seemed very, at least for me, a very simple way to start looking at the different stages, like you were saying, of development.
Well, thanks for that. I appreciate it. You know, 10 years of research, and I wanted to make it look like it happened in 10 minutes. And so hopefully people, and I know for sure that people are finding it useful, because I'm very busy with stages training, so
that's good. Yeah.
That's great. The next resource that you mentioned is the Tech Matrix. That's funded by the Office of Special Education Policy, OSEP, I think that stands for.
And that's techmatrix.org, right?
Techmatrix.org.
Right.
And Tech Matrix, the National Center for Technology Innovation,
okay.
used their grant money from OSEP to create this Tech Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up the website called techmatrix.org. The idea is that you would go in and search by purpose, either reading, math, and then particular skill areas. And then once you've identified those areas, you click a button that says generate matrix, and out will come a matrix of products that have the features that you need to be able to address those particular purposes. Then you can look for the check marks on the matrix to say, oh, this particular product has the feature I need.
Has all the different things
yeah,
that I
it's
need.
Student right. first. What is the task he needs to be able to do? And then we'll back into which tool we pick.
Right.
We never pick the tool first. We always look at what the student needs for scaffolding.
Okay.
Well, I guess I just started talking about the SET framework, too,
yeah,
didn't I?
Yeah, that's great.
SETT stands for Student, Environment, Task, and Tool.
Okay.
And I also showed a website in my talk today that outlines what questions you ask for each of those. Who is the student? Strengths, weaknesses?
Right.
What is his task? What does he have to be able to accomplish? What's the environment that he's working in? Is it the regular classroom environment? Are there particular tools in that environment that we could use? And then
okay.
finally, if not, then what tools do we need in order to make sure that student's able to accomplish that task. Mm-hmm. So that's really the trend today, is for us not to pick the tool first, but to think about the student and the task and the curriculum first, because we are a wealth of great tools out there now. And I think at the very beginning of my field, we were so intrigued by those tools that we did pick tools first, and we made bad purchasing decision.
Right.
You can
right.
easily pick a tool that's intriguing and technically sexy, but it doesn't mean it's going to work for the student. So
right.
Now we're moving more toward this set framework and looking at the student first, the environment in which he's working, the task he has to accomplish, and backing into which tool will let us do that job.
And I'm excited because now I have a place to at least start some of these searches, because before I really didn't know where to go other than try to come to the IU's assistive tech person.
Yes.
But this way I can at least start to get some ideas, or at least start looking around, and then say, okay, well, and then get some help that way.
Well,
as well.
I can't tell you how happy that makes me, because assistive technology specialists do not want to be the gatekeepers of this information. We want to facilitate
right.
folks like you who look at all students in their school community as learners.
Right.
And it shouldn't be that we segment our populations. We should collaborate as professionals to make sure that all the kids are part of our school community. Like you
right,
saw the
right.
Video clip today that I showed at the school dance, where the student with cerebral
neat.
Palsy
yeah,
not only picking the song in iTunes, but then heading out to the dance floor. And
he was boogieing.
He was.
And
those
going.
Are the kinds of things that school community means. Everybody's involved in all of those things, and that's
right.
why I wanted to make sure that I showed a clip outside of the academic.
Well, this is actually something that I can use, or at least help to pass on, because I do have a person at one of the districts I used to work at that came to me, and I struggled. I wasn't sure even where to start. So this gives me a good starting point. So if you're out there struggling as well, like I was, some of these sites that you'll see in the show notes and such, it's a great place to start, and it's fairly easy, especially for the layman like me, to start understanding some of these things.
Excellent.
So I really appreciate that.
Excellent. And I guess the last thing that I want to say is sort of this last thing that you mentioned earlier when we were talking, is under IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, there are some very strong language. One is the definition of an assistive technology device required under the law.
Okay.
Is any device or piece of equipment that serves to maintain or improve the function of a student with a disability in the curriculum.
Right.
Well, that word any could be a pretty scary word if we're not
yeah.
very strategic about how we make our choices.
Right.
And then the second right under this legislation is for educators and folks like yourself, and especially the classroom teacher, to have services that mm-hmm. will help them implement these kinds of strategies. So the services are sort of three areas. First, an assessment. What is the device or software product that we need?
Mm-hmm.
The second phase of that is, where do we get it?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular provider of this device that gives us more for our money, maybe a little free training or whatever? Maybe
right.
we have a contract in our district with a particular provider that's going to give us a better price. So where do we get it?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is, how do we use it? How do we get it out of the box and implement it? That would be professional development and implementation services.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those sort of support services are mandated under IDEA, and I do believe what you're going to see is, with this stimulus package money that's coming out, schools who haven't had the ability to implement it as sort of the spirit of that legislation
right.
will now be able to look back and say, we can now comply, and we're going to do better at educating our whole school community when we find the right tools.
It's exciting, and it's also a little sad that we had to wait for something like this to be able to meet the needs of many students.
You know what it's reminding me of, and I don't know if you like metaphors, but I do.
Sure.
I think
yeah.
back at those dreadful fires years ago in Yellowstone. I don't
yeah.
know if you remember those, but out of it came the most gorgeous wildflowers. They were called fireweeds.
Huh.
And I think of those as a metaphor, and maybe that's what we are now, fireweeds in the storm, because we something is coming out of this, and it's going to be a better way for us to find the right tools and do a better job in our schools. So On that note, I thank you for inviting me to chat with you about all of this.
This morning I wasn't sure what to expect, to be honest with you, but I'm really excited now, and I think these tools will really help some people out. So.
Well, feel free to put my email address in your show notes.
Go ahead.
And if anybody has questions, if anybody has questions, Madeleine, which is a tricky spelling, MADALAINE, @comcast.net. I look forward to hearing from folks.
Well, great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks again to Madeleine for chatting with me on the podcast. And I'd like to run down the list of resources here that are actually posted in the show notes if you go to 20fortech.com. Madeleine's blog is there, and these URLs are too long to speak, but I'll just let you know the resources that are there. Madeleine's blog is there. The Apple Accessibility site is there. The National Center for Technology Innovation that Madeleine had talked about is there. That's actually ncti.org. Education Week, which is edweek.org. Stages, which is Madeleine's work. Also techmatrix.org, which is a wonderful tool for finding educational and assistive tech products. Also the SET framework, that's S-E-T-T framework. And also the Simmons Assistive Technology Showcase site. All of these are incredible resources when it comes to assistive technologies. So again, thanks to Madeleine, thanks to Apple for bringing her to the IU, and just excited to be able to share some of these resources with you out there in the educational world. So thanks again for listening to 20 for Tech. I'm Dave Solon, and we'll see you back here next time.